Kings this morning. Second Kings chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our presence this morning. We repent of any sins, knowing or unknowing, and plead the blood of Jesus over our hearts and minds. We invite you, Holy Spirit, in to have your way in our service. Have your way from the pulpit to the back of the church and all in between. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Elisha, the mighty prophet Elisha, says, "Hear the word of the Lord." Now, the setting, of course, ancient Israel. Elisha has prophesied that there would be no rain that would fall, and there is a great drought because of it. The drought is so bad that they are eating and boiling donkey heads and eating dove dung. That's pretty disgusting, I know, but if you're starving to death, desperate men do desperate things. So that's the setting as Elisha, the prophet, walks into the arena of the court of Israel's king, and he says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." In one moment's time, God can change the situation. In one moment's time, God can change the situation. The nation of Israel is starving to death because their sin has brought this upon them. And when I think of how bad Israel went and how dark it was, I think of America. But I got good news. In one moment's time, God can change the landscape. Just like that. It was one moment's time that Joseph went from a prison to a palace. It was one moment's time when Mary's tears were wiped away when she saw the resurrected Christ. And in one moment's time, God can change your situation and mine. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's financial. In one moment's time, God can do something miraculous in our lives. And we have to trust God. And we have to believe God. We have to believe that God can do this. Amen? If we don't believe it, we won't see it. We say seeing is believing, but we understand as Christians, believing is seeing. Amen? And we have to learn to be able to trust the one moment time God. I said the one moment time God. When he can say, "I know you're starving to death and you've lived with this for years, but tomorrow at this time, everything is going to change." Woo, hallelujah. Now, in our story, an officer on whose hand the king leaned answers the man of God and says, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" This is a question of unbelief. There are legitimate questions. When the angel told Mary that she was going to have a child, she said, "How can this thing be, seeing as I know no man?" That's a legitimate question. Mary understood the biology of birth and knew you don't normally have babies without a man involved. So that's a legitimate question. The angel didn't rebuke her over that. But this is not a legitimate question. This is a question of unbelief. He is speaking a challenge to the ability of God. If God were to put windows in heaven, could this be? He's saying, even God couldn't do this. That's unbelief. Unbelief is when you bring God down to your level. Faith is when my level rises to the God of all possibilities. Amen. The God of one moment's time. Hallelujah. And because of this unbelief, the question was, can God do it? Could God really do it? I have good news this morning. God can do it. Let me say it again. God can do it. Doesn't matter how big your mountain is, God can do it. It doesn't matter how big your giant is, God can do it. It doesn't matter how big your problem is, I got good news, God can do it. That's the God I serve. He can do it. And He can do it in one moment's time. So He says to the man of unbelief, in fact, you will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. Now, most of us have read this story. We know how it ends. But we don't have to know the end of the story. We know that unbelief never receives. Unbelief never receives. You can have 100 people around you all receiving, and you cannot receive. I've been in churches where one person over here is shouting praises, and the other one's got a scowl on their face. And you say, how can that both be? It's the same message. One hears it with faith and the other one has unbelief. It's not what's being served that you partake of. It's what you partake of what's being served. If you have faith, you are partaking. If you have unbelief, you're saying, I don't want any of that. I personally have the gift of eating. I like to eat, don't you? Remember the woman that asked Jesus to have compassion on her, and He said, it's not meet for me to give the children's food to the dogs. And she said, well, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table, and I've been looking at your children, they're not eating too well. Isn't it funny how oftentimes as we read the gospel, it's the Samaritans or the Roman centurions or people who aren't even of the Jewish household of faith that are receiving, and the others aren't receiving? Think about it. Sometimes we get so comfortable in our Christianity that we forgot that we have to exercise our faith just as much as anybody else. And if we don't, doesn't matter what's hanging above our door, doesn't matter what we have embroidered on our Bible, doesn't matter how many verses we've highlighted, faith receives and unbelief does not receive. All right, the story goes on, verse 3. Now there were four lepers sitting at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Why are we sitting here until we die? Why sit we here till we die? Sometimes in our life, God allows us to get in desperate situations because He knows that it takes desperate situations for us to exercise our faith. You know, you got money in the bank and food in the fridge, you don't need to exercise faith, do you? But when you have no money in the bank and no food in the fridge, you start saying, boy, I need God to perform a miracle. And I think that oftentimes God brings us to our famine hour, whatever that may be, emotional, spiritual, financial, physical, so that we can evaluate what we're doing. And these four lepers begin to evaluate what they were doing, or in this case, not doing. We call it apathy. Just sitting here. Now, number one, they're lepers. Leprosy, of course, is a type of sin. The nerve endings are damaged. You are desensitized to feeling. That's what sin does. They're wearing leper's clothes because of the contamination. There's no point in putting on clean clothes on a leper. That's like, what do they say, putting a dress on a pig or something like that. Have you ever heard that? Well, yeah, but I'm talking about a worldly term, dressing up a pig. So they're sitting there apathetically in their beggar's leper's clothes, and they begin to reevaluate. Okay, there's no food in the city. We're going to die of starvation. We're going to die of leprosy. But there's food in the Samaritan camp. What's the worst that could happen if we go to Samaria? They could stab us, but we're going to die anyway. They may throw us a chicken bone. Might have a little chicken on it. So all of a sudden, in desperate times, we begin to think outside the box. We begin to exercise our faith. We begin to say, well, what's the worst they could do if I went into the courthouse and said, Jesus saves! And his blood washes whiter than snow. What's the worst they could do? You see, when you're in a desperate situation where you're already facing the worst, you say, well, what's the worst that could happen to me? Amen? I think we all need a dose of worse sometimes to get us off our apathetic Christian derriere and start doing something for God. That's just my opinion. So they say, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter in the city, the famine is in the city, and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we'll die now. Therefore, come, let us surrender the armies of the Syrians. And if they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we're only going to die anyway. And so they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents and horses and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And even though the Bible doesn't say it, they left their food too. Right? Now, what did they hear? They heard the sound of horses. And they said, there's an army coming. You know, there was another situation like this 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says before he ascended, he first descended into the enemy's camp. And, you know, I don't know what they heard, but I suspect they heard something that sounded like an army coming. Jesus is a one-man army. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, the bars of hell begin to shake. And all of a sudden, the demons begin to tremble. And all of a sudden, hell began to quiver as the King of Glory invaded that land and destroyed the works of the devil and the enemy. He vacated the camp of the enemy for us. And all we need to do is go into the enemy's camp and pilfer it because King Jesus ran them off. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? He that ascended first descended. And he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. That's my King. I said, that's my King. My King went into the gates of hell and destroyed the enemy, broke the back of the devil, made a show of them openly, the Bible says. That's my King. My King ran off the Syrian army and vacated it, and I am ready to go in and pilfer the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me because King Jesus invaded the land. Hallelujah. So the Syrians have vacated the land. And when the lepers went in there, They went into one tent. And they ate and they drank. And they carried from it gold and clothing. And they went and hid it. And then they came back. They entered another tent. They had another snack. They carried gold and clothes and went out and hid it. Then they went in another tent. You get the idea. They're not sure when the Syrians are coming back. So they're doing this one tent at a time. Just in case they come back. You know, sometimes we do that. We compartmental the blessings of God. I remember when I first got saved, I just wanted to live on the mountaintop. I didn't want to go to church. To work. I wanted to go to church. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to be around all those scoundrels that were saying things that I said a week earlier before I got saved. I just want to live on the mountaintop with Jesus. I just wanted to take my blessings and go hide them. Take my blessings and go hide them. Take my blessings and go hide them. Then one said to the other, verse 9, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. We're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. What day is a day of good news? This day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad. Well, Lord, I'll share my faith tomorrow. No, today is the day of salvation. This day, this day, this day, this day is a day of good news. He said, and if we remain silent, we don't know what's going to happen. We wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come and let us go and tell the king's household. You know, the Bible says, judgment must begin in the house of God. If it begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? But judgment doesn't just begin with the church. The good news begins with the church. Amen. We got to preach the good news to the church so they know it well enough to go out and preach it to others. Good news. Jesus saved and his blood washes whiter than snow. That's good news. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy we're saved. That's good news. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's good news. God has not commanded his judgment to us, but commanded his love to us while that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I got news, and it's good news. I said it's good news. I'm saved. Washed in the blood. I'm an overcoming child of God. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I said no weapon formed against me can prosper. Do you believe it, church? That's good news. That's good news. And so he told it. We tell it to the king's household. We preach it to the choir. Good news. And so he called to the gatekeeper of the city and he told him, saying, we went to the Syrian camp and surprisingly, no one was there. Not a human sound. Only horses and donkeys tied. And their tents were intact. And the gatekeeper called out. And they told it to the king's household inside. And so the king arose in the night and he said to his servant, let me now tell you what the Syrians have done. They know that we're hungry, therefore they've gone outside of the camp and they have hidden themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we'll catch them alive and get into the city. Now there's always going to be one. It's always going to be one of those people when you start telling them you're living by faith. That wants to reason with you. You're not being reasonable. You're being unreasonable. You need to stop and think this thing through now. You're not being reasonable. There's always going to be one. And you better be prepared for it, because I promise you they're there. They're there in family and friends or co-workers, and somebody says, oh, did you hear about Roger? He got some bad news and he's believing God. Can't say amen, say ouch. He's believing God. I would rather die preaching faith than live preaching unbelief. I don't care what the devil does to me. I believe God. I believe it will be according to His Word. If He said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to see Him who to know is life eternal. I will look upon His face. My Redeemer lives, and He will stand upon the earth the latter day. Now, there may be some dark times coming for the church. I believe the Lord's coming soon, but if the Lord tarries, it's in His hands, not mine. And I don't know what the future may hold, but I know who holds the future. I've read the back of the book, We Win. I'll keep preaching it. People say, how can you keep preaching that? Look what's going on around you. They're carrying Christians out and beheading them. Praise the Lord. They say, it's not in Acts, but they say when they were finally taking the Apostle Paul to be beheaded, he pulled loose from the guards and ran up and put his head on the block. That excites me. This world is not my home, just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere above, beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. So the king, he's got unbelief. Where are we at here? Verse 13. And one of his servants answered and said, please, let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitudes of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all of the multitudes of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. In other words, we're going to die anyway. Same thing the leper said, right? Therefore, they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them into the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. I love that statement, go and see. It kind of goes with that verse, taste and see, doesn't it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Go and see. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and take a try at this Jesus thing. Go ahead and just read the Bible and see what it says and see if maybe, just maybe, there's more to it than meets the eye. Go and see. Go ahead and just see. Go ahead and just try it. Go ahead and just draw nigh to the Lord and see if He doesn't draw nigh to you. Go ahead and just seek His face and experience His blessings. Go and see. Go and see. Go and see. And so they went and they saw. Right? So the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out, and they plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. Being a Bible junkie, like the rest of you, I've had people challenge me over the years. That book was just written by men. Yeah, but they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, there's conflicts in the Bible. No. Show them to me. Right? Well, the Bible has a lot of things that are anti-female. Cultures change. But God is true. Well, I just don't know about that. I do. If God said it, He'll do it. And if He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. And everything that's going to happen is going to happen according to the word of the Lord. Amen. At the beginning of this message, I talked about how the landscape of your life can change in one moment's time. And we see in this story how the landscape of the life of the Israelites at this particular time changed in one moment's time. We don't know what people were thinking 24 hours before Elisha showed up. There may have been some mothers that were thinking about eating their children. Think about it. There may have been some people who were thinking about committing suicide. And the devil works this way. He brings people to the end of themselves where they are so desperate they actually think of taking their own life or doing desperate acts when they are one moment's time away from a great miracle by the hand of God. And we had this man who said, if God could even open the windows of heaven, could such a thing be? And verse 17 tells us, now the king has appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him at the gate, and he died just as the man of God said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two seahs of barley for a shekel and a seah of fine flour for a shekel shall be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, now look, if the Lord could open windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he had said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him that the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. Now, I think it's really interesting. God oftentimes will post in the Bible, in the Word of God, a testimony. And it will say, this was said, and then it'll say it again. And God doesn't ever do that that would bring glory to the devil, but he likes to emphasize the surety of his word. And so you may say, well, that was a lot of redundance. We just read all of that at the beginning of the chapter, and yet God is not being redundant. He is testifying of himself and the surety of his promises in his word. Amen. You can take it to the bank. You can stand on it. You can live your life by this book. It will not fail. People will fail. Governments will fail. Health will fail. But God will remain true to his word. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Miss Nola, come on up. So what is your landscape like right now? Hopefully everybody's is good. Hopefully your health is good. Your finances are good. Emotionally, you're good. But if you're not, I have good news. God can change the landscape of your life in one moment's time. I said, God can change the landscape of your life in one moment's time. It takes faith. It takes the kind of faith that Abraham had when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. It takes that kind of faith. It's a surrender of all my resources, all my reasoning, all my knowledge, all my financial ability, all my physical ability, all of my whatever ability. It takes the kind of faith that says, if I had no money, no resources, no way to solve my own problems, would I believe God then? It's the kind of faith it takes. It's the offering of Isaac kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that it takes. Can God change my landscape? Oh, yes. Can God do it in 24 hours? Absolutely. Is God going to do it in 24 hours? How much faith do you have? Do you have enough faith to believe that God can do it? Well, you don't know what the devil's done to me. I know what Jesus done to him. He vacated the camp. I said he vacated the camp. The devil, you know, the devil has been rendered powerless for 2,000 years. The only power he has over me is what I give him. When I begin to be doubtful and fearful, and as Eddie said, murmuring and some of the things that we do, we empower the devil. But when we begin to confess what God said, in one moment's time, God can change the situation. He can change my situation. He can change yours. People that you've been praying for years can get saved in one moment's time. Unsaved loved ones coming to Jesus in one moment's time. It was one moment's time when the prodigal said, I've come to myself. I'm going home. One moment's time. And maybe you've been praying for some prodigals out there in your family and friends. You say, will they ever come in? Yes, they will. When are they coming? In one moment's time. But you don't know how the devil has them. He vacated the camp in one moment's time. He vacated the camp. They're believing a lie. The devil has no power to hold them. Jesus is bringing them home in one moment's time. I believe it. Let's put our faith to work this week. Let's pretend that we're as desperate as those lepers were, and let's just have the audacity to just say, Lord, I believe that in one moment's time you can change my situation. I believe in one moment's time I can see my loved ones come to Jesus and be radically saved so that they're more bold and more on fire for God than I am. I believe it. It can happen. I'm going to have the Abrahamic faith. I'm going to lay everything, all my resources on the altar this morning. And I'm going to believe in a God who's the God of one moment's time. And I'm going to believe that the landscape of my life is about to change in a radical way. Because God can do it. God can do it. The God I serve can do it. And I'm going to believe it this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lift your hands up to the Lord, or at least one hand if you can. Father, we just believe your word. We have read the testimony of four lepers who had the audacity to say, I'm tired of the apathy in my life. I'm going to get up and do something about it. And they found out that the battle had already been won when our King Jesus invaded the camp and rendered the power of the devil useless in our life. He broke the back of the devil for us, conquering him at Mount Calvary, and he emptied out the camp, and we have victory. And we're going in the enemy camp by faith this morning and taking back what he stole from us. Our lost loved ones, the brokenness, the despair, the pain that we've experienced through loss and addiction and so many other things. Today, we believe in a God of one moment's time, and we are believing for victory, for salvation, for healing, for deliverance, for joy, for peace. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen and amen. Woo! I'm looking forward to the next testimony service we have. They'll be shouting, no, me first, me first. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are we singing, Nola?
Spirit song.
Okay.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with the Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your
the Lord. Give someone a big hug before you go.